Father, thank you for a faithful man, a man whose example can be followed, a good elder, Lord, one of your elders, Father. We want to hear what you have to say through him right now, Father. Thank you that we can do that, Lord, and I pray that you anoint his lips now and let him enjoy it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jacques. Such an awesome time in the presence of the King. Just wonderful testimonies. Just so cool when you hear that testimony after testimony after testimony comes up. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So cool. So encouraging. Well done to the media guys for all those things being flighted tonight. And I was reminded of the gathering that's coming up, the global gathering that's coming up soon. It's not only going to be for members, it's going to be for everybody. And when I thought about that, I was reminded of the last time we got together, the last gathering we had. And Emma preached amazingly. And in her preach, she alluded to a wonderful pearl. And she said that unity is our weapon. Unity is our weapon. And a couple of weeks ago, I preached on living in forgiveness. And tonight, what I want to do is I want to take those 2 points as a basis on what we want to preach on tonight, and that is unity. Unity in the body. So to start, I want to look at some scriptures. Just as an intro, I want to have a look at just 3 scriptures. I wonder if we can flight the first one. That's Ephesians 4:13. And Paul tells pastors and teachers to equip the saints. And it says, until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And Philippians 2:2, it says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and one in mind. And then Romans 15:5. May God, who gives endurance and encouragement, give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. I want to start tonight by asking a question. And the question that I want to ask is, if I say the word unity, what does that conjure up in your mind? If I say the word unity, does it conjure up something good or does it conjure up something bad? Maybe you can stick up your hand if it's something good. Probably the most of the house would say it's a good thing. Well, John Piper tells us that in essence, unity is a neutral thing. And so we can be given to something good or we could be given to something bad. Unity, yeah, it's good when we give ourselves to something good. But if we see Herod and Pilate, they were united in their common scorn of Jesus. And obviously that's bad unity. But then on the flip side of that coin, we see Paul and Silas. They were beaten, they were in prison, and then in unity, they started worshiping the King. They started worshiping the King and lifting up his name. And suddenly, as we know the story, there was just a breakout of the Spirit of the Lord. So the unity that we as Christians pursue, obviously, is, as we've mentioned in these introductory scriptures, the good scriptures, the good unity. First point I want to highlight is that we need to have oneness in mind amongst the believers. Oneness in mind amongst the believers. Acts 2 verse 4, on the day of Pentecost, it says that all were in one accord, in one place. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. There have been times that people have prayed, possibly prayers that have been inaccurate. Say, Father, will you come? And will you unite our church? We see that when we are united, when we come together, then he pours out his Spirit upon us. We see that the people in Acts, they were already in one heart when the Spirit was poured out upon them. Obviously, unity is necessary and the most vital ingredient in the outpouring of the Spirit. And just to use a bit of a basic analogy of electricity. So at home you have 240 volts coming into your house And there could be a loose wire or there could be a fuse that's blown. And that power is there, but it just doesn't come into the house. You can switch on the lights and they don't work. You can switch on appliances and they don't work. You can switch on the geyser and it doesn't work because it has been severed from the source. It's been severed from the source coming into the house. Likewise, in the church as well, we need to be connected to the Holy Spirit. We need to be, as the word tells us, we need to be grafted into the vine. And it's wonderful that in nights like this, we can come together as believers and there's unity in the house and there's wonderful worship and wonderful testimonies and there's unity and it's wonderful. And then sometimes there's a bit of a waning off till possibly the next Wednesday when we get together in a community and then there's another surging. And it's a good thing that you have these highs, but it's better to stay grafted in and to stay connected to the source, stay connected to the Holy Spirit, that we stay in rank, that we stay in step with the Holy Spirit. Many years ago, we did military stuff. And I was part of a special service battalion in Bloemfontein. And we often used to have these parades where the band would lead us and we were all in sync. We were all together. We all looked the same, dressed the same, side by side. We were in sync. One behind the other, we were in sync, and we would march in step, in unity, all in unity. And I see some nodding heads of some people that are, oh no, don't go there. And I remember the one particular time, so that what happened was when the band stopped playing and the last beat of the drum sounded, you had to stop and you had to plant your foot down. And on one particular occasion, I put my foot down, but I was slightly off balance. My left foot was slightly in front of the other, and I thought, well, we're going to be on this parade ground for like an hour. There's no ways that I can stand like this. I thought, well, there's 600 of us on this parade ground. There's nobody that's going to notice if I just did this. So looking ahead, I thought, everybody's looking ahead. This is cool. I'll just do that. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw the sergeant major coming my way, and I knew that I had trouble. I knew. When the sergeant major says that you walk in unity and when you stop and you stand, you got to stand. Now, normally what comes out of a sergeant major's mouth when he confronts you, you cannot repeat in a church. Well, in fact, you can't repeat it anywhere. But on this particular time, it was quite humorous. Well, not for me. Obviously, I was at the receiving end of his joke and he came right up to me. In Afrikaans, he said to me, "Jy is 'n jeronkie." And he said, "Weet jy wat is 'n jeronkie?" And I just knew then that it would be a good time if I valued my life, that I would keep the switch of my heart from transmitting to receiving. So I kept quiet and I looked ahead of me and he said, "Jy is 'n jeronkie. Jy is so lank soos 'n giraffe en jy is so dom soos 'n donkie." And obviously many people found it humorous and my mates around me, I was at the receiving end of this thing, so it wasn't happiness for me. But there was just something when the sergeant major spoke, you listened. Second point I want to raise tonight is we need to be unified in and around a common cause and a common truth. They were united in a cause against the enemy. You see, in the Second World War, in America, the Democrats and the Republicans were quite divided. And then what happened in 1941, the Japanese struck at Pearl Harbor, virtually took out the total Pacific fleet of the Americans. And then suddenly there was no difference between Democrat and Republican. Suddenly they came together. Isn't it interesting that when adversity comes at times, that people stand together and they move together for a common cause, stand together. We, as a church, need to be united in our vision of Christ and in the fundamental truths of Scripture. We see in the human body, there's certain vital organs that we need to survive. We have a brain, we have lungs, we have a heart, we have a spinal column, we have a blood system, we have a nervous system. And you can take somebody's foot and you can take the foot off and he can survive. Or you can take his leg off and he can survive. But you take one of the vital organs out of his body and he'll die. He won't survive. In the church, there are these vital organs, these vital truths. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that he died for us and he rose for us on the third day and he's coming back for us and he's coming back soon. We believe that we are saved by grace through faith, not by works that anyone can boast, as the word reminds us. We believe that the only way to the Father is through his Son, Jesus. And we believe in the unity of the saints. We just need to settle these truths, these fundamental truths that we need to settle. Because if you take any one of those little truths out of the equation, we just become another religious organization, an organization that Jesus didn't die for. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know this Word. I know we often have it on our phones. And Jesus tells us that this is the sword of truth. And often we see in Jesus' situation, he would say, when the enemy came against him, he would just say, "It is written." We need to know the Word of God. Many years ago, we went to Port Alfred. My folks used to stay in Port Alfred. And there was a ruling in our family, or my folks' family. They believed in, as far as church membership or church attendance is concerned, as CEO. You go to church on Christmas and Easter only. That was the deal. Christmas and Easter only. And I remember going with them to this church. And in the service, the minister stood up and he opened his Bible and he said, "The reading today is from the book of Thessalonians." And I looked at Margot, and I think we were the only ones that had a Bible with us. We'd heard of Thessalonians and we'd heard of Colossians, but not the Thessalonians. And it just actually just went over people's heads. We need to know the Word of God. We cannot compromise on the truth. We need to live fully and have our lives fully inclined to the Word of God as a church united. Nothing added to it and nothing taken away from it. There might be some that differ on the non-fundamental truths in the Bible. And that's cool. As long as we can keep the main thing, the main thing. Acts 2:42. I wonder if you can flight that for us. Just a wonderful scripture that reminds us of the unity of the saints, the fellowship of the believers. And so when we read the scripture, and I would encourage you as well to read the scripture through the eyes of unity. And it says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." And it says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Then it says, some of the believers were together. No, all of the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, again, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And the Lord added to them daily those who were being saved. We see in a cemetery, they are also united. People in the cemetery are united, just that they're all dead. And us as a body of believers, we need to look at the way we do church. And that we need to line up our lives and do things according to what God's word instructs us to do. Nothing added to it or nothing taken away from it. And I know that in some contexts, in some churches, people will compromise on the truth to give people what their itchy ears would like to hear. And many years ago, I think it was a church in Knysna, the priest, there was pressure put on him when there was good weather. When the sun was up and it was good weather, the surfers would want to go surfing early. The fishermen wanted to go early. And they would put pressure on the guy to end his service quickly. It was just like that was part of the deal. People would look at their watches. Thank goodness we have PM congregation. There's no surfing tonight. There's no fishing. But there's an element of some churches wanting to give people what the itchy ears would want to hear. And there can be a compromise. And even to the state of people who lead, putting pressure on the guy leading, say, "Listen, your time is up." The third thing that I want to highlight is unity can bring about a revival that we so desperately need. The issue is this: how are we going to achieve unity? Well, the issue is it's going to take a fight. Any complacent church, any back-footed church, mediocre, lazy, aimless church will not achieve unity. It's going to take a fight. Remember when Emma got to get, when we last met at that gathering, when Emma said that unity is our weapon in our hands. It is, but it's going to take a fight for us. When we get together as a band of believers, it's going to take a fight. Firstly, are we living in forgiveness? A couple of weeks ago, I preached about living in forgiveness. We need to keep short accounts of one another. We want to keep unity in the body. We need to keep short accounts. If you get miffed about something, let's get over it. It's a reality that it's going to take a fight. Oneness in the determination to glorify the Lord Jesus, not man. To have a heart for people. A heart for the people of God. And those who lift up the name of Jesus in every day and in every way. We read in the scripture earlier that having as the first introductory scriptures, we read in Romans 15:5, same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ had. We need to pray for others' success and a blessing upon people, not just for us here in Sunningdale PM, but we need to pray for the other congregations that meet, that we pray for success and we pray a blessing upon them, we pray unity upon them. It is going to take a fight. That we pray too for those, for the blessing of those and the unity of those that are part of 412. What about some flows that are not part of us? Those people whose aim is His fame. Those who lift up the name of Jesus. We need to get behind people and those churches too and pray for unity in the bodies. It's going to take a fight. Easy, very easy to bring division in the camp. Very easy to speak words of division, divisive speech. We need to fight for the unity in the camp. It's going to take a fight. We see that we need to love the ways and be absorbed by the ways of the Lord. We see, we heard earlier about Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison wasn't a wonderful inventor. We heard earlier that he invented the light bulb. And there were many, many inventions that he did. There were wonderful inventions that he did that were quite successful. It was said of Edison that he only had something like 3 hours a night to sleep. 3 hours of sleep a night. He was given to the cause. He was front-footed in what he did, and he had success. We as a church, we need to spur one another on. The Bible tells us, spur one another on to love and to good works. Encourage the weak and those that are lazy. There are some in the house that you can run an ultra marathon, but at the 5K mark, you're wanting to turn back. We need to encourage the weak, encourage those. It's going to take some work. We must not be found sleeping when Jesus comes. We know that his return is imminent and it is soon. Will we be found sleeping when he does come? Very important thing. If you can just remember one thing tonight. That we need to lay down our differences. And we need to fight for the unity. Because unity, it is going to be a weapon in our hands. When we get together, it's going to be a weapon in our hands. Will Jesus say of us, well done, my good and my faithful servant? Have we been part of the problem or part of the solution? Have we been those that have fought for the unity? Have we been those that have possibly brought division? Have we been those that have said things loosely? Somebody once spoke about a froward word, a loose word that can break the unity. Are we those that fight for the unity of the saints in the house? It's going to take a fight. Somebody once asked this. Would you choose you? Quite a thought. When it comes to unity, think about it. When it comes to the things of the Spirit and being unified together as a body, Sunningdale PM, would it be asked of you, would you choose you if this was your church? Would we fight? Are we some of those that are fighting for the cause and we standing together, encourage one another, encouraging the unity in the body? Are we those that are bringing division? We need to be unified in the determination to see God break out. in healings. We've seen some tonight. We've had some prayer about healings. We need to break out and pray for the healings. We need to pray for the restoration of marriages. The enemy is like a roaring lion. It doesn't say he is a lion. It says like a roaring lion. It just makes a lot of noise. We need to fight for the restoration of marriages. We need to fight for the restoration of families as well. And church, we need to fight for salvation, for the lost souls. We need to stand up and we need to call out to the Lord for the lost. We need to pray, pray, pray. It starts off when we have our prayer meeting up at 4:30. Would you be part of us to come and join in with that? And as we band together and as we pray out to the God, as we travail as one, we will see the unity come through and we'll see people set free. If God's people, it's one said, if God's people are not praying, the sheep are straying. How does this come to our context, into our Sunnydale PM? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, I will heal their land. We need to come boldly into the throne of grace, united in our faith. We need to believe and be united and have desire to see God's name glorified in this house. And not vague prayers. The Word of God tells us we have not, for we ask not. Or it says too that we ask amiss. We ask for the wrong things. Oh Lord, will you give me that Aston Martin DB9 and that Tag Heuer watch? It's not God's plan. You are asking amiss. We need to pray with intent. The heart of God. What does He want for us? We need to have the expectation when we get together like this as saints, unified in the body, we need to have an expectation to see God move, to see God set people free. We need to have that in our hearts and believe that. Importantly too, we need to consider sin in the camp. When there's sin in the camp, it can break things open over our whole congregation. One part of the body sins, it affects the whole body. If there is sin in the camp, we need to deal hectically and strongly against that. Jesus is coming back. And He is coming back for a pure and a spotless bride. He's coming back soon. We need to be those that do not accept the sin in the camp. Do not accept. We need to be strong and front-footed with that. We see Aaron. Aaron was an old man. Remember a little while back, upstairs in the prayer meeting, we sent around the picture of Aaron. It's an old man, had a bald head, had this beard. This oil was poured down over his head, running down onto his beard and onto his cloak. Now I read a bit about that oil and just how the oil that was used was just different, a makeup of different oils. Just the unity of that. And obviously it's a picture. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit coming down upon him, on his head, onto his beard, onto his robe. We need to have a church that's unified. In Psalm 133, I wonder if you can flight that. I'm going to finish with a psalm. It says, how good and how pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured out on the head, running down on the beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life, forevermore.